Hey there, welcome back to the Support Ops Hangout. This is our weekly podcast that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. On today's show, this is part two of last week's topic about effectively communicating with your team. So if you haven't listened to last week, you probably want to go back and do that first. This is kind of one of those like two-parters that builds on the first part. This is not like Jurassic Park and then you can skip the middle two and then go right to the fourth one, which is a lot better. So just keep that in mind. Before we dive in, let's go ahead and check in with everyone who had a fantastic Halloween weekend. We'll start with Carolyn. How are you, Carolyn?
I am great. I was a pirate. And now I'm going to have to tell you my pirate joke.
What's the pirate joke?
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
W.
R.
You might think it's R, but in fact it's the C. Sorry.
Oh boy.
You set me up for it. I had to do it.
That was fantastic on so many levels. Can that be my shout out? I want that to be my shout out.
Yes.
Oh, next up, hopefully not with any jokes, is Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm also jokeless, so you're welcome.
I have more pirate jokes if you need them. I memorized several.
So we're going to have to sprinkle them into the conversation. Whenever like we're going in the wrong way, just throw in a pirate joke. It'll bring it back.
Okay.
And then last but certainly not least, Jeff from Wistia. Joke? No joke?
For Halloween, I went as the joke in Chase Livingston's heart.
Ouch.
There's a joke in there. It's a tiny, tiny, little, fun, funny joke.
Christmas rolls around. It's going to grow three sizes. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, he has a giant heart, just no jokes. I'm pro Halloween, but am doubly pro dressing my child, aka dog, up instead of myself. So that's what we did this year. And it was a blast. He went as a T-Rex.
All right. So with all that out of the way, let's dive into this week. So like we mentioned, you know, we talked last week about and kind of what got us started on it was Automatic's idea and their creed being I will communicate as much as possible because it's oxygen of a distributed company. So we talked about that last week, and then we kind of got to the tail end of the episode. Jeff started making some really good points and bringing up some good questions. So we naturally cut him off and said, let's save it for later. That's just what we do. So that's what we're going to talk about this week, all of the things that we couldn't get to last week. And I think the big one for us was Jeff left on a good one where he basically was wondering what kind of processes do we have in place? What kind of things do we do to make sure that everyone, once they get caught up, so for like folks that are new to the team or maybe have been out on vacation, once they catch up, what do you do to make sure that they stay in sync with the rest of the team? What are the habits that you have on a daily, a weekly, and a monthly basis to make sure that happens? So since Jeff posed that question, let's go to him first. Jeff, what do y'all do? I'm sure you've got it all figured out.
No, I asked the question because I don't have any of it figured out. I don't know. We're experimenting with it. I just feel like they're in every organization a growing or maybe mature organization as well, there's like way too many meetings.
Yeah.
And so there's one-on-ones, there's group syncs, there's cross-company meetings, there's department meetings or whatever. Then there's like impromptu things related to projects. And it's really, I mean, the goal of all of those is to take care of the person. But also keep them in sync, like, at a very high level, let them know how their work impacts the organization's mission. And how do you do that without there being way too many? I'm really not sure. So what we're doing now, I can share from my team, and then I'll try to share from the customer happiness team, but I wish that Aaron was here to add to that. On the product side, we have a weekly sync. It's an hour and a half, and we cover current items and then one step ahead items, like what's coming that we need to be prepared for. And then we try to talk about particular agenda items related to the work. So getting deep on details and trying to figure out who should be assigned to figure out those things. On the customer happiness team, they do a weekly stand-up and then a whole ton of one-on-ones. There's a lot of one-on-ones on that team. And I can't speak to like what the process is there, but I know that they've seen a lot of change for the positive since they started doing those. As a company, we do a number of different all-hands meetings, but I do run one each month on the product. And the goal of that is to let people know proactively what we're going to do in the next month so that people can prepare and bring up ideas and collaborate on things so that it's not all, oh, we already launched this, so can somebody please put together the whatever, the pitch, the blog post, whatever it is that we need to do for that. Yeah, so that's what we do. I think it relies a lot on email and Slack and all those things too. So hopefully someone else has it figured out. I am looking at Livingston for this because I just feel like Automattic has a good way of doing these things.
And that's a great segue into Livingston. So yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start at like the high level as far as like the entire company goes. So Matt Mullenweg, our CEO, does a monthly, we call it a town hall meeting. And so, you know, wherever he is, he essentially just sets up a live stream, and it's just him. And then, you know, we're all in either Slack or we can, you know, send in questions beforehand, but essentially, you know, he kind of gives an update on what's going on and, you know, if there's any, pertinent or important information that, you know, needs to be shared with the whole company, that's a good time for him to do it. But then, you know, essentially he just spends the rest of usually the hour, maybe hour and a half or so, answering questions that people send in. So sometimes people email in, sometimes it's just, you know, a conversation develops in Slack. And so it's just, you know, essentially us getting some virtual FaceTime with the CEO and him answering questions that we may have. And then most teams, as far as that goes, most teams have either weekly or like biweekly. You can call them stand-ups or just, you know, team meetings or calls or whatever. So like my team, we do a weekly Zoom hangout or whatever you want to call it, to just chat and catch up and talk about anything that is new or anything that we need to discuss as a team that might be better discussed, like, you know, face-to-face essentially rather than, you know, via text. And then, we also do, you know, biweekly like one-on-ones with our team lead, as far as like performance type stuff and, you know, anything around that and just more, I guess, personal conversations, where it might not be appropriate to have those kind of discussions necessarily in public. If it's something that you're concerned about in your performance or your team lead is, obviously that's, you know, better served as a one-on-one. So that's sort of how we do the communication from the top down. And then, you know, obviously to supplement all that, like we talked about last week, P2s that we use for, you know, asynchronous communication, and then Slack essentially is what we use for synchronous, you know, chat, that kind of thing. So that's sort of a broad rambling overview, I guess.
Yeah. And then Carolyn, so a couple of episodes back, we did a show about, how to host team meetings and that kind of thing. And Carolyn brought up a couple of really cool ideas from Buffer. One of them being the weekly meeting that y'all do. So can you kind of walk us through, just kind of hit the highlights of that weekly one that you were talking about. And then particularly there was a really great one with the shift handover, what one team does. I mean, what your like European shift does to hand things over to the US and so on.
Yeah. So since that hang episode, we canceled our weekly meeting.
I love it. Doing it live on the show. Just, we just threw it out.
Sorry.
I mean, that's a good one. Why did you cancel?
Yeah. So, the weekly meeting was for, so we divided our team into smaller teams to take care of the more specific groups of customers. Like instead of being one giant team, now we're an awesome mobile individual prospect and business teams. And so the Friday meeting was supposed to kind of like get people up to date on what was happening in those teams, but we found that either the information was not that useful, and people didn't really need to stop what they were doing on a Friday and know that, Or it was so important that we'd already sent it out through an email or discourse, and like it didn't wait for Friday. So we canceled the Friday meeting, and what we're doing is kind of more specialization in the team. So it used to be like everybody, well, this is kind of a longer answer than I was planning on giving, but I'll cut myself off.
Remember, you can always go back to the pirate joke.
Yes, I'll end with a pirate joke. The thing is that even though there's different groups of customers, a lot of the product is consistent across them, of course. So if one development team is working on something, more likely than not, it affects the rest of the team. So we moved that kind of communication of like, hey, just so you know, this is changing in the product, to Discourse and email. Because we realized we were doing that anyway, and it was too important to save for the Friday meeting. Usually it was too timely. And we changed the Friday meeting to be biweekly, and for it to be like more like further learning. Like, we've only had one so far, but we had one of our new teammates, Ross, introduce the concept of mind mapping and like teach us how to do it and teach some of the tools and like reasons it might be useful. So kind of just like a, almost like a brown bag type thing, but digitally. So that's the Friday meeting. And in terms of the shift handover, because in an ideal situation, you always have a shift handover. We are lacking in Asia and Australia time zones. Shout out, we're hiring in Asia and Australia. So we don't have a perfect like system of everybody coming in and like finding out what was going on from the previous team. But you know, between Europe and Australia, between Europe and the US, like East Coast and then East Coast and West Coast, there's this quick meeting of like, hey, do we need to talk about anything? Is there any specific customer that might reply that needs a little TLC? Is there a bug that's new? Is there a bug that was fixed? Like just that kind of like real time, specific to that particular day type stuff.
Yeah, and just to kind of round things up from the Basecamp side too, one of the features that we built into Basecamp 3 is this idea of check-ins. So every project you can set up custom check-ins. And a lot of our teams will use one that's basically, what did you work on today? So you've got basically Basecamp 3 asks you every single day at 5 p.m., you know, your typical ending day, ending time, what you worked on that specific day. And that goes out to, you know, it goes out to the people on the project, but everyone in the company can see that. So I can see, you know, mobile was working on this today. So it kind of gives me an idea of where they are and helps me kind of stay in sync as far as what I can expect as far as a new iOS app update or something like that. So those daily kind of automatic check-ins really help out our team. And then we do, we did do the weekly meeting way back when, at least a year, maybe 2 years ago. At least a year ago. But we kind of found ourselves in a similar situation as Buffer. It was by the time we got on a call, first off, your customers are waiting, which is a big deal. You know, we've got our reply times down to 2 and 3 minutes apiece. So when all of us step off of those, it kind of balloons and then we can't catch back up for a while. So that was part of it. The other part was, you know, we're already in Campfire. We're already in Basecamp so much. You've probably already seen it if it was really important. So the calls tended to be rehashing what we already knew or talking about Netflix. So we kind of just killed that off as far as the weekly ones go, in favor of those daily check-ins that we talk about. It worked really well for us. The other big thing that our teams do are what we call heartbeats. So, and this isn't like a set time, like a weekly thing or a monthly thing or anything like that, but usually it happens when a project has reached a certain milestone, the team will post what's called a heartbeat. So basically the heartbeat is, here's everything we've done so far. Here's where we are currently. And then here's where we're going in the remaining amount of time that we have for this new feature, this new product or whatever. From the support side, that translates a little less cleanly. The support side tends to be kind of a recap of our stats, you know, how many emails we're looking at, what trends we're seeing, what response time we're seeing, what's our scheduling look like, you know, is volume of tickets going up, is it going down? Plus, we like to sprinkle in comments from customers, too, just to kind of give everyone else on the team kind of an idea of what people are saying about us and about Basecamp. But those are really, like I mentioned, more infrequent. Think on a good project, maybe bi-monthly, maybe monthly, something like that, just depending on how big it is. But yeah, I mean, that's what we do. A lot of the rest of the stuff is already in Basecamp, so we don't have to have meetings. Like, I can count on my hand the number of meetings I've been in this year. Which is really, really nice. And I think the ones that have been in this year have been all related to like the launch of Basecamp 3 tomorrow. So those tend to be, you need to kind of have those sometimes.
Holy shit. What you just said just blew my mind.
What?
I just don't even want us to move forward without stopping for that. You can count on your hand the number of meetings that you've been in this year.
Yeah, and let me preface that by saying it's not one-on-ones, right? So in my mind, I make a distinction between one-on-ones, which should happen pretty frequently with your team lead, you know, a weekly, bi-weekly kind of thing, versus stop answering cases. Let's pull everybody into this meeting where we're going to jump on a hangout, jump on a call, do something that requires all of us to focus on each other rather than whatever else is going on. For us... So when I start thinking through, we did the big kind of support project that I worked on gearing up for Basecamp 3 was the launch of our new classes, right? So we do weekly online classes. We had to get together to draft up a script, kind of hash out what we want to talk about, run through them a couple of times, all that, right? We had two hangouts that we did, where the three of us working on those basically said, we're stopping on cases, stopping on phone calls and everything else to focus on this meeting about online classes. And we were able to do that because the bulk of the stuff that we were doing took place in Basecamp, right? So like the script that we were working on, we all worked on it in Basecamp. The kind of infrequent conversations that we had to have could be had in the comment sections of that project, or it could be held in the campfire chat tool. You know, having all that there, one, lets everyone work on it when they want to, when they can, you know. So, you know, maybe we're covering cases so that person can go work on classes for the afternoon. So it helps there. And two, it doesn't require us to, like, all jump on a call because we've seen what work has been done, and now we can pick up and keep going with our part of it, if that makes sense.
It's amazing.
It does. I mean, it sounds very utopian. You know, like it sounds like something that's been carefully crafted by Jason, by David, by I'm sure plenty of other people who I can't name, to reinforce the fact that that's how things are going to get shared, right? Because I think that's just really interesting. It's really interesting to think about a company that's in sync without needing to get everyone in the same room and say, are we in sync? Right, yeah, it just requires really strong vision, I guess.
Outside of like, you know, we talk about like full company, like town hall kind of things that Chase Livingston were talking about earlier. We do those basically twice a year at the meetups. We're all in one place, and Jason and David kind of talk about the state of Basecamp, quote unquote. Matt does the same thing at Automattic when they do the big state of Automattic, state of WordPress kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, other than that, we're a small enough company where if I have a question that Jason needs, that I need an answer from Jason from, I ping Jason in Basecamp and then I get an answer. And it doesn't matter if it happens instantly or if it happens a couple hours later on his schedule, it's fine. I still get my answer. So that's really nice there. But yeah, like you mentioned, it's intentional, right? I mean, that's one of the fundamental concepts of Rework when we put out that book. It's meetings are toxic. They cost time, they cost attention, they cost, you know, there's so many hidden costs that go into a meeting that the more you can do to keep out of those is amazing. That said, I will say with Basecamp 3 coming up, especially with our meetup a couple of weeks ago, there were several times where everyone's here, we have this big gnarly problem that we need to work on. Let's all just run over to a team room. Let's all run over to a conference room and get in there and kind of hash that out, because it's going to get an answer faster since everyone's in the same physical location. But other than that, yeah, we're very intentional about everything goes in Basecamp, because then we don't have to have meetings.
There's cultural value to meetings too, though.
Yeah, there is. So for listeners, let's kind of walk through that too. What do you mean there, Carolyn?
like saying things like, what were you for Halloween? And like seeing people eye to eye and like giggling about the same thing, or knowing that somebody's kid lost a tooth, like that kind of like connection, I find is a lot harder to, at least maybe we just are not intentional about it, but it has not really happened as much over the Facebook group and Slack and things like that.
I think in automatic, it's,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty similar. Obviously the weekly meetings like we have as a team are important. But you know, aside from the, you know, random chit chat, like before and after we actually do the meeting, most of that discussion could probably happen on a, you know, a P2 or something like that. And, or even, you know, just via Slack or whatever, and it would be totally fine. So I think, you know, for us, the big thing is, you know, jumping on like a video call and seeing your coworkers, you know, at least once a week, because otherwise, you know, we would not like see each other's faces and at least have, you know, even though it's via video chat, like actually a face-to-face conversation with those folks. So yeah, I can definitely, you know, agree with Carolyn that it does have some cultural and personal value more than just the content of the actual meeting.
Yeah, definitely. And for us at Basecamp, so we do what's called a 5x12 every month, which is Jason, David, and five other people. And that basically is like a basically 30, 45 minutes of, hey, so what's going on? How you been? Like, what's your kids doing? And all that kind of thing. But we also have a lot of those conversations in Basecamp itself. So like if you looked into our support team's campfire chat, you would probably be amazed at how many GIFs we share, how many Hotline Bling, that's what that's called. Hotline Bling memes we share. There's a lot of culture building that happens there. Those automatic check-ins I mentioned earlier, we have several of those set up. Like the one I answered today was about what I'm reading this month. So that kind of helps us keep track of what other people are reading. And since all those can have comment threads, we often notice that, oh, these people are reading The Martian. Let's talk about that, which is really fun. Those same check-ins are sometimes, it sounds goofy, right? But we have check-ins about what do you look like this week? Like what's a big photo you want to share this week of you or your kid dressed up as a Halloween costume? Or we did 4D pictures last week with our little one, right? So I shared those this week. We share recipes with automatic check-ins. We share, you know, all sorts of those kind of cultural things that aren't specifically related to projects. They all get put in Basecamp. That way, we're still sharing. I think I've been on a video chat with Jordan, a member of our support team, like maybe twice since we've hired her. But I still know like what her kids were for Halloween, where they're at. They're a full-time Airstreamer, so I know like what's going on with them there. So I think a big thing is it's intentional that culture is still happening, but we intentionally moved more of it into asynchronous communication versus jumping on a video call, if that makes sense.
Do you think that there is a relationship between, let me ask this another way, or let me say it rather than ask it. I believe that as a business, we try to change things too fast to not have meetings. Like there's no, people's function changes so fast in such like maybe not like product or like title ways, but responsibility ways, that I would find it very difficult to not do that in a meeting where you're looking at the other person saying, here are the things that we're talking about. Does that make sense to you? And they're like, yes, that makes sense to me. And you're seeing the part of them that says, yeah, sure, that sounds great. And you're like, okay, you're not actually agreeing. You're just now moving into like, I'll take a paycheck mode. And I wonder if there's anything that is different about Basecamp the business, like again, explicitly different about Basecamp the business at an even higher level than how many meetings we're going to have that enables you to have less meetings. Like if Jason and David and many other people have been like, we want Basecamp the business to be something that is around for the really long term and is very consistent and stable because that's what we like. Something like that. I don't know. I don't think that's something that really anyone from the outside would know. But if you compare that to Buffer, for example, two companies that I know relatively little about, like how it actually feels to work there, it feels like Joel and Leo sometimes are just like, let's shake it up. and to shake it up without meetings feels like you put the change ahead of the people, if that makes sense. Like you communicated in like a lossy way emotionally. I don't know if that's true or not.
From my end, just quickly before you jump in, Chase, I would say that I agree. First of all, yes, they do say, let's shake it up. Secondly, we do still communicate a lot of those things and have those conversations in the one-to-ones. So that's kind of how we
got it.
Maybe that's the bridge between those two things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have one-to-ones weekly.
And I would say, so when I think about meetings, right? It's a one-to-one because you're pulling those people off and I totally understand that. But for me, a one-to-one isn't nearly as much of a meeting as you're pulling in more than two folks, right? So when I think meeting, I think, okay, we're going to get our product head, we're going to get our support team lead, we're going to get our head programmer, we're going to get all these people, and then we're going to put them in a room or we're going to put them on a call. One-to-ones, usually with us anyways, happen usually on a call, usually on Skype, that kind of thing. Usually 6 weeks or so between one-to-ones. More frequently for newer people on the team, or if a person is like in charge of a specific product, a specific project, there might be more check-ins there. So like when I think meetings, I think multiple people rather than just one-to-one. So that's part of like how I come at this, if that kind of clears up. And as far as like the emotional stuff, I mean, that's one of those where, so a big push with Basecamp is to always keep things in some kind of form where other people don't have to be in that room to know what's going on, right? So if people in Chicago are having lunch and they're throwing feature ideas back and forth and that kind of thing, that leaves out a good, fourth of the company, since, out of 48, there's about 10 or 12 or so in Chicago and everyone else is remote. So there's a very intentional push to make sure that non-remote folks aren't left out. And when that happens and you're kind of pushed into making sure things are in messages or in Campfire or whatever, whatever tool you're using, I think you become really great at writing because you're forced to. And when you can write clearly, we can write concisely, and especially the longer you work with somebody, through their writing if they're having problems or not. If you outline a couple of things and they're oh yes, oh yeah, or oh yeah, sure, whatever. You can feel that in your writing to the point where there are times where if we're private messaging back and forth and somebody on the support team just, it feels off, right? Like you can feel it. Their writing just feels off. It doesn't feel like themselves that day. You can just ask them, hey, look, this is what your writing feels like. Is something going on? And the cool thing there is like, if I'm in a video chat with you, Jeff, and I say, hey, Jeff, you just feel off. Something just feels off today. Your reaction at that point has to be pretty real and pretty raw. And it has to be matching up with what I see, right? But if I say, your writing feels off today, is something going on, it gives you an out. You can open up if you want to, or you can say, oh no, it's just, whatever. And we can kind of move on from there. So I think that's the big thing. Like the more you work with somebody, and Chase Livingston, you can tell me if this is just unique to Basecamp or it's something at Automatic too. But the more you work with somebody and the more you learn how they write and how they talk and that kind of thing, you can kind of feel that thing in written form rather than like have to have a video or an audio call.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case, at Automatic as well, because, even though we do generally like weekly video calls, obviously the majority of our communication is still text. And so, especially when, you've been working with folks for quite a while, like, I've been working with the majority of the people on my team for over a year now, every day. So, it's pretty easy to be able to sort of, to figure that out even via text. I agree.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. It's one of those where, okay, first off on the show, I'm not usually like, you used to like answering all this stuff and going as far in depth. So if I'm just like rambling and circling around the question, tell me.
No, not at all. This has been on my mind the last couple of weeks, just like how it feels like the time like slowly gets compressed. And that the only way to get out of that we have right now is to hire more people. right? To say like, oh, okay, that probably means you're working on too many things. Let's hire more people. But there is another way or another way of looking at it, which is like, what if there were just fewer and fewer and fewer needs on your time? Mm-hmm. But I don't know exactly how we go about proving that that's feasible without taking a major risk, right, in the productivity of the business, right? Like, if it's working now and it requires a meeting infrastructure, do we go without it and then 6 months later we find out that our productivity is completely shot, or the quality of our product or whatever is completely shot? So yeah, definitely something to think about, but I think that's a great point.
Pull a buffer, just try it, see what happens. You know.
You don't have to wait 6 months. You'll know if it hurts.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those where I think you'll know pretty quickly if it was a bad mistake. And for some companies, you know, having fewer meetings is not a good thing. I mean, you know, there are sometimes where either the situation demands that those happen, you know, frequently, face-to-face or whatever you need. I think about kind of the example I used earlier. When we get into crunch mode with releasing a new product, whether it was Basecamp 2 or Basecamp 3, we scheduled a meetup around the launch because we absolutely knew there are going to be situations that require split-second decisions. And those split-second decisions have to come from multiple people involved in it, right? A good example was when we were at the meetup, we realized, we kind of realized what happens when we say we've got three plans now with Basecamp. All of them come with unlimited projects. We're going to do soft limits on the file storage. And then, like, that's great when you write it out, but then it kind of sunk in when the launch day got closer, and we're like, oh, crap. So if we do that, then A over here has to change, and that's going to affect B, which is going to affect C, and I don't know if it's going to affect D, but I need to talk to somebody that would know about that. And when you're making those kind of decisions with launch in 24 hours, 48 hours, that kind of thing, it's real convenient to grab everybody, pull them in a conference room and say, hey, here's the problem. What are we going to do about the solution? So, you know, there are situations or teams or projects or whatever that might require more meetings, be it in person or face, you know, video calls, that kind of thing. And then there could be some projects that don't require that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you want an easy lo-fi way to test it out, just kind of find a project that you don't think is going to need that much and just try pulling that project off without meetings and see what happens. Sorry, I feel like I like took over the show about this is how we do it at Basecamp, and that's not what I wanted to do.
I think people are really going to love that.
Yeah, all right, so we're at 47 minutes past. Anything else we want to throw in on this one? Just random, anything?
Why do pirates normally say pirates?
Why, Carolyn?
Because once you lose an arm, you're hooked.
I just, no words.
I'm not sure whether to laugh or cry at that.
Single best response to a joke ever.
All right, so that's what we think about communicating with a team, trying to stay in sync on a daily, weekly, monthly basis and all that. Let us know how your team does it, because like Jeff mentioned, we're all still like trying to feel our way through that stuff. Even, you know, Automatic's been around forever. Basecamp Buffer been around forever. Wistia's, yeah, mostly been around forever. We're still learning all this stuff as we go. So let us know how your team's doing it. Hit me up, chase@supportops.co, or you can send us a tweet. We're @supportops there. You want to throw another joke in before we jump into the rest, Carolyn?
Yeah, can I tell a non-safe for work joke?
Okay, I'm going to have to put the like explicit.
No, it's not that bad.
Oh, okay, well, like
I already said shit.
Well, I was going to say, should we tell, like, you know, if they're the parents listening to this while dropping their kid up at school, like, wait until they get out of the car?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so we're going to give you a moment, like, get your kid out of the car now, press pause, whatever you need to do, and now your moment's over, so Carolyn's going to tell it.
Okay, what do pirates and pimps have in common?
I got nothing.
They both say, yo-ho.
That.
Okay, I'm done. I'm retiring now.
All right, so while you're still reeling from that joke, I do want to remind you that next week's episode is going to be our rapid fire before we move into our 100th episode. So if you've got any short questions you want to hit us up, God, that joke. Oh, God. If you want to hit us up with any short questions, send me an email, chase@supportops.co, or head over to the website, supportops.co, and you can drop us a line there, too. We'll collect those and answer them next week. Seriously, God, that joke.
It's so funny. That's the problem with it. So funny.
Oh my God.
Chase is laughing.
He the only
decision between laughing and crying.
He's the only laughing. Response to that is you have to laugh.
Well, look, you gotta wait. Chase Livingston is gonna come up with some awesome dad jokes, so it's gonna be fine.
Maybe one of the, that's my homework for next episode. I'll research some of those.
Yeah, I will say, so it's gotten kind of colder here with fall setting in, and for whatever reason, I don't know, I guess I like saving electricity and money, but I typically keep the heat down lower, so 66, 67, that's when it kicks on. Heather come in the room the other day, and she's like, hey, Chase, what's the temp on? I was like, 66, 67. She's like, it's too cold, and I was like, that's fine, just go stand in the corner, and she looks at me and goes, wait. And I was like, yep, because a corner is 90 degrees.
That's hilarious.
Dad jokes.
I love that.
It's gonna happen. All right. So before we get any worse jokes going on, that brings us to I usually say this is my favorite part, but after the jokes, this is my second favorite part of this episode. It's this week's shout outs. These are things that are making us happy, so happy we wanna. No, we don't want to stop listening to Carolyn's jokes. But if it was any other week, it would make us so happy we want to stop listening to those jokes. Let's run down the list. Jeff, what's your shout-out?
So I recently read an article, this was a few months ago, from someone named Tito Carrero through, I'm sure I've shouted them out before, the First Round Review. And the article is called How Dropbox Sources, Scales, and Ships Its Best Product Ideas. And in the course of reading that, which was a very interesting read, the last section is all on hackathons. He just kind of throws in this section, just real quick mention about how Dropbox does hackathons. Well, then we just took that, made that gospel, and ran our first hackathon last week. And it was so fun. It was really great. I was super impressed by everyone at Wistia, and it was really very heavily inspired by this this kind of snuck in section of this article. So if people are either currently running hackathons or think it would be great for their company to start running hackathons, definitely read the whole article because it's useful, but you can focus in on the last section of this article, and it's really great.
Awesome. And so for those of you that don't know, you probably know, we use YouTube video hangouts for this, which means we get a chat feature that they usually send me links to. And then Chase Livingston pops up with his link, and that was the one I was going to shout out. So Chase Livingston, what's your shout out as I go frantically finding another one?
Wow, I am impressed. I didn't think that anybody would surface this article besides me. So, I've been really enjoying, and I've shouted it out before, the Cortex podcast on Relay FM with Mike Hurley and CGP Gray. And so this is an article from CGP Gray's blog called Dialing Down. And I'm probably definitely not as extreme as he is, but the article is essentially about finding ways to dial back the distractions and stuff like that so that you can actually get the work done that, you know, is meaningful and that you actually need to get done. And so he takes some pretty drastic measures. I don't think I would recommend that, but it's an interesting article. And I guess, you know, even more than that is listen to the Cortex podcast as well, because he goes into a lot more detail about his philosophies about these kinds of things. And just super interesting, you know, for me at least, to hear that somebody that's so extreme with, you know, cutting back on things and making sure that they only see and hear what they need to.
Awesome. And then Carolyn, what's your shout out?
So I'm shouting out Apple customer service because I got this really cute text from my mom that I retweeted. And so she has a pretty old phone. I think it's 5. So this is like way not under warranty anymore. It's been dropped a couple times. It's, you know, it's been used. And the battery recently started to swell and caused the screen to get a bit warped. Like, it wasn't dangerous or anything, it just wasn't great. And so my mom was like, well, this, you know, this phone's pretty old, so, you know, probably have to replace it. She took it into Apple. They were like, yep, this is a known problem. Like, here's a perfect, here's a refurbished, totally perfect replacement, no charge. And I just thought that was really amazing. Like, they would have been well within their rights and, you know, sort of expectations for, to say, sorry, this is not under warranty anymore. Like, too bad, buy a new one. And, you know, you can say what you want about Apple and, you know, their cash reserves and what they put us through in terms of charging and blah, blah. This whole show there, but, they stand by their products, in a way that's pretty cool. And I just loved, I mean, she was just so happy because she thought she was going to have to pay $600 for a new phone. So I wanted to shout them out.
That's freaking awesome. For my shout out, like I mentioned, Chase stole mine, but I've got another one. If you're like me, so a lot of us, I think, you know, we all use GitHub and Git for the products that we all support. But we also use Jekyll for the help site that we do. And that's kind of the same thing, right? There's a central GitHub repo, and then we all push and pull to that. I've tried my best to learn all the ins and outs of Git, and it just absolutely confuses me to the point where I've got like a cheat sheet over on the side for simple stuff like pushing and pulling and everything else. One of the guys at work recommended Tower, which is a fantastic Mac app that kind of handles all that Git stuff for you. Gives you nice, pretty icons for everything, which I absolutely love. So I can actually focus on what I need to get done on the site rather than like, oh, I totally like borked out adding this GitHub commit wrong, so everything's busted now. So I definitely recommend trying it. I've been using it for a month or two now. Absolutely love it. Tower. I'll have that and all the other show notes up, supportops.co. We'll have all that shortly. Like we mentioned, if you've got a rapid-fire question for us for next week, make sure to send it to us. That way we can get it on the docket and get it answered. Big thanks to our awesome panel. Sorry again on my part for it turning into like an hour with Basecamp. Hopefully you got some good usable information out of it. And if you're feeling generous this week, do us a favor, share around your favorite show, your favorite episode on Twitter or Facebook, that kind of thing. Aww. It just helps get the word out about all of us. I know you've got one. Jeff, do you have, what's your favorite episode? Do you know off the top of your head?
Ooh.
All right, save it. Save it for next week. That'll be one of the rapid fires that we ask.
I'm going to be here for a while, yeah.
Yeah, you got a week. You got a week. Yeah, so
also,
we'll be back. Yeah.
Tweet more pirate jokes at me. I want to hear them.
Oh, no. Do we really want to encourage this? Is this? Should we have, like, pirate corner, like joke corner with Carolyn every week?
Yes, yes. Definitely.
Make sure that you CC at Chase Livingston on all those tweets.
I knew that was going to happen.
As the joke in his heart, I have to represent his humor everywhere I go.
But yes, let's actually do that.
So it'll be fun.
Do it, and then show up again next week for episode 99, our rapid fire episode before we hit episode 100, which is going to be fantastic. So tweet those jokes, and until we see you again for next week's episode. Have an awesome week.